Hi, this is Ilka Cassidy with Passive House Accelerator, and thanks for tuning in to the special bonus episode of the Passive House podcast recorded at Building Energy Boston 2024. And a big thank you to New Energy Works, High Performance Enclosure, Timber Framing, and Wood-Based Building Materials for their support of the series. Thanks for giving me some time for this podcast. I just attended your session and I'm exhausted in a really good way. I could have never thought that learning about tax credits can be so entertaining.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you considered doing like a tax comedy show or something.
I'm taking it on the road.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, maybe just introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Jacob Goldman, Vice President of Energy Tax Savers. Charlie and I started the company back in 2005, and we've been helping building owners and designers of government buildings take advantage of tax incentives for putting in energy efficiency since 2005. We've probably completed 16,000 buildings where we've been helping them, either the designer for government buildings or the for-profit entities for their commercial buildings get these tax incentives. And then the Inflation Reduction Act came out, and we saw that there were these great incentives now for the very first time for state and local governments and not-for-profits. And so we've now started a kind of another business where we're helping state and local governments and not-for-profits take advantage of these alternative energy tax credits.
Awesome. And your session was called Inflation Reduction Act 1 year in. So what's your big picture takeaway 1 year in?
So it's definitely doing what it's supposed to do. Maybe not as fast as everybody would have wished, but I think it's a matter of getting the word out. So these presentations that I'm doing, I think, you know, I probably talked to several thousand people at this point. You know, we started on a speaking tour. You know, the law came out in August of 2022, and I might have started speaking for the very first time in like October of 2022. And we're just trying to get the word out about these incentives. And, you know, there's a lot of disbelief because, you know, it's a tax credit, but why does a state and local government or a not-for-profit get the tax credit? It just baffles the mind, but it actually really exists. So it's a matter of getting the word out. And I think once people start taking advantage of it and seeing those checks come in, I think lots of pickup will happen after that.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important that you are getting the word out. And to be honest, I didn't really know too much about it. That's why I really wanted to attend your session and talk to you afterwards. Sure. And I feel like a lot of listeners can learn quite a bit from this as well. So just big picture. So you're only talking about commercial project. So everything you're going to tell us now is about commercial.
Well, when I say commercial, it's commercial scale. So it's not really a single family residence doing it. It's commercial scale. So whether the building is like an institutional building owned by a state or local government or a not-for-profit, or it's a commercial building like owned by Google or something like that, there are tax incentives for both of those groups for their alternative energy projects, solar, wind, thermal storage, ground source. So all those technologies now have an incentive. If you put them into those building types, there's a check that can come after the project's done, can get 30, 40, 50%, can go all the way up to a half off sale on these projects. So it's very valuable for these type of technologies.
Yeah, you put on these sales during your presentation. I felt like I was in an auction.
That was
really awesome. So this is all federal.
So this is a federal program. Yeah. And so it's a federal incentive, and it's a federal incentive for commercial clients, you know, tax-paying entities like Google, for example. But it's also a federal incentive for state and local governments and not-for-profits. So the federal government is actually going to write a check to the state government or the local school district or the local library district. You know, they're going to write a check for, these credit amounts. They call it an elective pay. And so there's going to be this elective pay that's going to be available to state and local governments and not-for-profits for doing alternative energy type projects over the next several years.
Very cool. So I have some notes here. So I wrote down something about haircuts, about ground source heat pumps that were really important, about 179D, 45W, prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirement.
Sure.
So is that kind of...
Yeah, so let's talk about the haircuts. Yeah. So the haircuts are only related to state and local governments and not-for-profits taking a tax credit. So there's a couple different haircuts. One haircut is if you're using tax-exempt bonds. It means you reduce the credit. It's like if the credit was the full length of your hair, there's going to be a little cut in the haircut. Let's say you qualified for a 40% credit normally, but you use tax-exempt bonds. Let's say you're a local school district and you use tax-exempt bonds to pay for the solar project. You might qualify for a 30% credit normally, but because you use tax-exempt bonds, it gets reduced by 15%. So what does that mean? 15% reduction from 30 brings you down to a 25.5% tax credit. So instead of 30%, you get 25.5% because you use the tax advantage bond to help pay for the project. There's another set of haircuts, which is depending on what year you start your project. This is only for state and local governments and not-for-profits. It's not for commercial entities, but state and local governments and not-for-profits. If they start their project in 2024, there could be a 10% haircut. If you started in 2025, it could be a 15% haircut. If you started in 2026, it could be a 100% haircut, meaning all the hair taken off, meaning no tax credit in 2026. There are two ways to avoid that haircut. One is by being a small project, so being under a megawatt. If you're under a megawatt, there's no 10% haircut in 24, no 15% haircut in 25, no 100% haircut in 26. If you're bigger than a megawatt, though, the only way you can avoid those cuts is by meeting domestic content rules. Your project has to have a certain level of domestic content in order for it to avoid the haircut. Otherwise, you know, let's say you do a project, you don't meet domestic content, you're bigger than a megawatt, you started in 2024, so your 30% credit turns into a 27% credit. 10% gets reduced from the 30%. If you did it in 2025, if you started your project in 25, it'd be a 15% haircut, so you'd be at the 25.5%. But if you started in 2026 and you don't meet domestic content and you're bigger than a megawatt, no credit at all, the whole credit disappears, just for state and local governments and not-for-profits.
Okay. And then you also, you know, we're saying you're giving away sales too. So they were like triple, five times bonus. And what was that?
So the base credit for solar, wind, thermal storage, ground source, all those technologies, the base credit is 6%. But what the law did is it created all these bonuses. How do you go about changing your 6% credit to a 30% credit? That's the five-time bonus. You can change your 30% credit to a 40% credit. There's two ways to do that. There's a domestic content bonus or the energy community bonus. If you meet either one of those, you get another 10%. If you meet both of them, you get another 10%. So your 30 goes to 40, goes to 50. So how do you get the five-time bonus? There's really... If you could go back in time, if you started your project before January 29, 2023, that'd be one way, but obviously you can't go back in time. So if by happenstance you started your project before that date, you automatically get the five-time bonus. Once again, the 1 megawatt comes in as another way, a second way to get the five-time bonus. That's, under a megawatt, or by the way, if you're doing ground source of thermal storage, you don't typically measure those in megawatts. Those are measured in tons or million BTUs per hour. So the conversion between megawatts and tons is 3.4 million BTUs per hour is the BTUs, and the tons is 284 tons. So if you're below those levels, another way to get the five-time bonus is by meeting small, being below those numbers. The only other way to meet it is by meeting a prevailing wage and an apprenticeship requirement. Those are two separate requirements. You have to meet both prevailing wage and apprenticeship. So let's say you're bigger than a megawatt, you didn't start it before January 29th last year in 2023, then the only other way is your labor that's installing the project has to meet prevailing wage and separately has to meet apprenticeship.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing. I didn't know that that was all connected that way.
Yeah, it's all connected. How did this come about? The unions were the big lobbying force in the bill. And so they got, more union jobs for American workers. And so they got their portion into these bills. And so this prevailing wage and apprenticeship is Section 48, which we're talking about right now, but it's also 179D, which you mentioned, you have to meet prevailing wage in apprenticeship. It's also 30W, which is for EV charging stations, also has to meet prevailing wage. All of them, the prevailing wage in apprenticeship doesn't take away the, if you don't meet it, it doesn't take away the incentive, but it amplifies it. It makes it five times bigger if you meet prevailing wage in apprenticeship.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Great. So, should we talk about 179 first or about ground source heat pumps?
So ground source kind of keeps us into the 6% turns into 30, turns into 40, turns into 50. Ground source used to be the most expensive first cost. If you were going to do a ground source project, it's really energy efficient. You know, if you look at lifetime costs, you could probably justify ground source, especially in a building that's going to be around for a long time. But lots of people have to justify on first cost, not lifetime cost. And now for the very first time, ground source gets this tremendous benefit where they could qualify for 30%, 40% off, 50% off. In which case, we've heard, and I've actually seen some projects, I'm not saying this happens every single time. I'm saying some projects, the ground source project is actually the cheapest first cost, like even against conventional technology. You do a conventional technology, it will cost more than ground source plus the tax credit that you get in after the project's done. It doesn't happen every time, but some projects actually, you can actually be cheaper than the conventional technology with ground source. And then you also get that lifetime cost benefit because ground source uses way less energy than conventional technology. So for the very first time, some ground source projects are being able to be justified on the first cost level. Very powerful legislation for the ground source industry.
Awesome. Very good. So something that I thought was also very interesting, and I had no idea that that existed, is a tax credit for designers.
Yeah, so it's not a credit, it is a tax deduction. Oh, okay. So 179D is a tax deduction. What I was talking before is a tax credit. The Section 48, that's a tax credit. The 179D is a tax deduction. To get the value of a deduction, you need to know what your tax rate is. So let's say a designer's tax rate is 35%. If they qualify for a $100,000 deduction, it's worth $35,000 to them. That's the value of the deduction. But the designers of government buildings have been able to get 179D for many years. It actually came out in 2005 for projects that started in, placed in service in 2006. And so designers of government buildings were able to get that since 2006. The rules, the Inflation Reduction Act made a lot of changes to 179D. One of the changes is designers can now qualify for not only government buildings, they can qualify for not-for-profit buildings and they can qualify for tribal buildings as well. They're the only party that can get the tax deduction for those projects. So they're the only party that can get the tax deduction for government, not-for-profit, and tribal. The deduction did change, though. So it used to be you could qualify for lighting separate from HVAC, separate from envelope. Now they made it more holistic. You have to model the entire building post-project. That entire building, regardless of what, let's say you were doing a retrofit on the HVAC system, you have to still model in the existing lighting and the existing envelope with the new HVAC. You need all that information to model that building against a reference building. If you show a 25% improvement, you get the minimum tax deduction, which now initially goes down, but once again, there's the five-time bonus if you meet prevailing wage and apprenticeship. So it goes down to 50 cents a square foot for a 25% improvement, but with the five-time bonus, it could be 250 a square foot. Those 50 cents and 250 actually have been increased by inflation, so they're much higher now. So the it's like $5.08 or something. Don't quote me what the exact numbers are, but it's easier to talk about 50 cents to a dollar than it is to talk about 57 cents to $1.13 or whatever it is. The deduction has moved down, but if you meet the five-time bonus, it goes up to $2.50 to $5. So it's five times the amount. But you have to show that your building is better than a reference building by at least 25%, and then 50%+ gets you the higher end, and anywhere in between gets you in between. So that was one of the other big changes in the Inflation Reduction Act did for 179D.
So what do you think was the most effective change that IRA put in place for overall maybe building energy efficiency or climate resilience?
So what we're seeing is the uptake by state and local governments and not-for-profits to do these projects. There was a trickle of these type projects just because they, you know, they wanted to do the right thing in their buildings, but now there's financial incentive. Not only are you doing the right thing, but now you also have a financial incentive to do the right thing. And so the uptake that we're seeing, you know, it's like a hockey stick. It's like really increasing is those state and local projects and not-for-profits. And probably the biggest area that we're seeing this in is in school districts. You know, your local school district doing the elementary school, the high school, the middle school. We're seeing a tremendous absorption of these incentives in those areas going forward. Now, there wasn't a lot of 2023 projects. We think we're going to see more 2024, but we think by 25 and 26, it's really going to be very mainstream that ground source, thermal storage, wind, well, not so much wind, but solar is going to be, you know, these school districts are going to really be adopting these technologies to lower their costs and also reduce their costs going into the future because, you know, and at the same time, not burning fossil fuels and all those wonderful things happen on top of it, plus the financial aspect of it as well.
Awesome. So that's really encouraging and really exciting that that is all working out the way it's supposed to.
Sure.
That was a lot of information, just already a short amount of time. So is there any kind of resources that you could just tell us about that people can go and just learn more?
So obviously, they could come to us at Energy Tax Savers. We'd be glad to talk to them. But on top of that, IRS has a number of great websites on all these incentives. So if you type in Section 48 for those tax credits for solar and ground source, there's a site that IRS hosts for Section 48. If you type in 179D, there's a site for that. We didn't even talk about 45W, which is electric vehicles, or 30W, which is EV charging stations. But IRS has a different website for each one of them. They also have like information sheets, like one pagers on there. They did a really good job. Where, you know, you can get a fact sheet on these incentives, for your specific, need. So let's say you're a state or local government. There's a fact sheet on state and local governments. There's a separate one for not-for-profits. So they did a really good job, the IRS, on, putting these things out there on their website.
Great. And you actually shared a webinar that's on YouTube.
Yep. I have a webinar that was recorded by the utility in Connecticut, and they put it up on their site, and so I share that often with people if they'd be interested in hearing more details. Yeah. Somewhat similar to what you saw today.
Yeah. No, it was really, really great and very entertaining, I must say.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for getting the word out and for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.